Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, the special intro music you're about to hear was made by a listener named Sam, who has some of their own music on Spotify. You can find a link to that in the description of this episode. Otherwise, please enjoy.
Come on and play a game. Wake up and start reading solo. Who's here with me?
Games, welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always,
it's Ben Vanel here. Good to see you, boys. Hey, Tommy. Hey, Adam. We're recording from an undisclosed location within the Melbourne QZ. We're in the quarantine zone. We're back in lockdown. how you doing over there, Noxie?
I'm stuck in Melbourne QV. I'm in that big shopping center with the big W and shit. QV.
Yep.
Great food court there.
It's not bad, and they're all abandoned, so I've got free reign over all the ingredients. I can jump in and make myself as many burritos at Mad Mex, or I think there's a Korean place and a Thai place.
Soup shop. You been to the soup shop there before?
I would never buy soup.
Ooh. No, me either.
It's a fucking absurd thing to get someone else to make for you, in my opinion.
Wow.
Yeah, a pub soup. Why is it on the menu? Why are you going out for soup? I don't understand it.
Like, even at home, soup just means that I can't be fucked doing anything. You know what I mean? Like, sure. Soup is one of the early, like, it's so medieval to me. The idea of eating soup is, you just admit that you're a caveman. You know what I mean?
It's also, to me, it's something that I have when I'm sick. You know, you have a chicken noodle, you have a pumpkin because you're a bit under the weather. Right. So it's like, I don't know why I would ever eat it if I'm at full health, which I am 99.9% of the time.
Yeah.
Like, rare moments of weakness.
I'm going to go to a restaurant and order some codrel.
You guys, I used to work near QV, so I would go to that food court for lunch. And, you know, like the Australian way, if you feel sick, you still go to work. That's as I've been doing for the past 6 months. You know, so I'd go to work, I'd be feeling really sick. And so I'd go down to the food court, get some soup, you know, and eat that.
Yep.
Hug a few people, kiss a few people, share the bread and go back to work. I don't know. That seems just normal to me. I maybe I'm crazy. I don't know.
Well, I would always just make soup in my large apartment building that I live in, and take the soup from door to door, sort of rub all the buttons on the elevator with my hands and tongue. That's more my sort of thing. Is I like to just keep it within the small community that just me and 150 police officers live in.
Yeah, I've got you guys would have seen this when you've been around to my house before, but my apartment building has the unorthodox measure of having a security guard out the front, and I got to tell you, I think he's been making eyes at me the last few times I've been going in and out of the building. I think there might be something going on here.
That's interesting.
You got to go for it, man. You got to go for it. I say, while you can, you got to get that love and while you can. It's a tough time.
You know how you know whether or not he's into you? If he like looks your way and he gives you one of these, that's kind of a sign that he might be after something.
Yep. What about Earl of Sandwich? You guys ever go there? There's one of them in the QV food court.
I thought you meant the person.
The Earl of Sandwich.
What about this fucking guy putting some meat between two bits of bread, huh? How'd he come up with that?
Tell me, what do they sell at Earl of Sandwich?
I think they actually might have some soups on offer.
Hell yeah.
I think they do. They go outside of their pay grade into the soup category.
I tell you what,
sandwiches,
a grilled cheese and like a dipping soup, that's pretty good.
Mm.
Like a tomato soup or something.
Dip, I don't mind it.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a deluxe dip.
A little bit of a pumpkin Earl of sandwich sweet potato, is kind of like motherfucker.
Earl of Sandwich is stuck in my head because I think the one of the first times I went to Las Vegas, a friend of mine had been not long before and he goes, bro, there's this place called Earl of Sandwich that you've got to check out. It is incredible. It is the most amazing sandwich I've ever had in my life. So I go, I like go out of my way to go and I'm messaging him as I'm there and he's like, oh my God, how is it? And I'm like, it's just a sandwich. And he was furious that I wasn't jizzing my pants over this sandwich. And now just the fact that it's they've got them here now, but it's like a pretty small chain that's just in the QV food court. It's just so funny to me that it's like my friend was building it up like it is the culinary experience in the United States. And it's like, no, dude, it's food court food.
Maybe it's
like a guy with a sandwich press out the back.
It could You've be like the Jiro Dreams place. Of Sushi place, though, where it's like he just lives in a train station or the business is in a train station.
Yes, yes, yes. Maybe the QV one is run by his son, who always wanted to run the Earl of Sandwich
it's a mirror.
On the Las Vegas Strip. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a complete mirror image of the Las Vegas Earl of Sandwich.
For the first 9 years working at Earl of Sandwich, you only do the crusts. It takes you forever to work your way up.
He was really furious too because I'd gotten it when I was like, it was like the tail end of a big night and I was like pretty drunk and he was like, how was it? I'm like, oh, I don't know. I was pretty pissed. And he's like, you do not disrespect the Earl of Sandwich. But, you know, he was like, you got to go in there like in pristine condition.
Show the appropriate respect to royalty such as the Earl of Sandwich. Yes.
Yeah, totally.
What is an Earl?
Landowner who inherits a title, I guess.
I'm going to Google it. You boys keep talking. If it's not clear, by the way, to anybody, especially who isn't across Australian news, we're back in fucking lockdown, baby.
Yes.
Yeah, we're back. Shouts out to anyone also in the beautiful, fucked up city of Melbourne. Having the real vibe of like, did you guys ever have friends at like other schools that would go on school holidays at slightly different times? So like in the, you know, like middle of the year, you'd have like one school would have 3 weeks and the other would have two and then it would be reversed like the next time around. But like that feeling of still being in class while your friends are outside just soaking up the rays was just absolutely brutal. So it feels like that. The rest of the country is pretty much returning to normal. And here in Melbourne, we've just been told yesterday that we have 6 old weeks of being back in the home. So it's a few more Zoom episodes coming down the pipe for you guys.
The positive effect of that is that it does give you a bit more time to sort of look into things that you wouldn't have necessarily looked into. And I Googled what is an Earl, and it says here, Earl... It's a noble rank. An earl is a member of the nobility. The title originates in the old English world, earl, meaning a man of noble birth or rank. And just above it, it has a picture of the dude from My Name is Earl.
Yeah, Jason Lee actually is an earl. That's why the show is called that.
It was originally called My Name and Title is Earl.
Yes, yeah. My rank is between baron and something else that I can't pronounce.
It is crazy that like baron and earl are names now, but there's no like, hello, my name is Count. It's me, Margrave Knox.
Just call me Wayne, baby.
Queenie's a name. I know Queenie is a name that
for a dog or for a person.
For a person, there's people called Queenie.
Really?
It's like a very, very old name. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What about Kingy? When's International Kingy?
I don't know about Kingy.
Kingy might be an Australian.
Yeah.
You know how I know that Queenie is a name is because you guys would have heard that clip of that guy prank calling Bruce and Phil on one of the late night AM radio shows.
Fuck you, why would we
young kid?
Everyone's
famous,
heard.
It's a famous prank call.
You know
it's
that cultural touchstone.
I'm obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with it, so I'm sure I would have talked to you guys about it before.
No, I have no idea.
It's not India, is it? That's the only prank
India.
Call I know. Right. That I do
John Cena prank
look
call.
Up.
That's a different one. Look that one up, folks. It's a group of people who organized to call up. There's like a late night AM radio host who was doing a trivia quiz every night, and a group of people call him up every night, and for whatever the question is, they answer India, and he gets increasingly frustrated.
Yeah,
he threatens to cancel every night. He's like threatening to cancel the trivia quiz. He's like, maybe we just won't do this anymore, which is just like pushed to the brink. But the Bruce and Phil one is so this guy turns up and he's got this he's like pretending to be a little kid. He's like, me and my brother listen every night and we love listening. And he goes, do you guys want to hear a joke? And they go, oh yeah, go on, Toby, tell us a joke. And he goes, okay, what's the funniest smelling thing? And they go, your nose. And he goes, oh nah, it's an anchovy's cunt. And then they just hang up on him. And then it's like a 1 minute tirade of them just getting angry at this. They still think it's a little kid that's called up. They're like, come on, Toby, grow up. It's time for you to grow up. Look, we've dumped you, but there's people on the line who've had to hear that in their ears. People like Carmen and Queenie who were waiting to talk to us. And it's just like that's seared into my brain. It's like Queenie is just the quintessential name of an old woman calling up AM radio in the middle of the night, waiting to have a chat.
If you can't tell, there's not much video game stuff happening this week because we just described a prank call for, I think, a minute and a half.
Yes.
It's really...
Prank call simulator, that'd be a good game. A game where you can prank call people.
How would you do it, though? Yeah. Would it just be like pre-baked sort of prank words like Monkey Island or whatever when you do the sword fights where it's just like... You've come up with 10 different prank call ideas and you just show them to the player over the course of 3 different conversations.
Or would
it
be like... No, it'd be like Cards Against Humanity, right? Hello, my name is Adolf Hitler. That's not fun. That's not a fun prank at all.
Yeah. That's calling someone up and be like, hello, it's me, Hitler. Is your fridge running? I don't know how you'd do it, but I also don't think I would play it.
It would have to be a thing where it's like basically it's a conversation, and you get at each step of the conversation you get 3 to 4 different options, and you can using your kind of know-how you can have a very successful one, or you can I've been playing a lot of Persona 5 Royal in the last few weeks, and when you do the hold-ups on the enemies, if you say lend me your power, if you want to convince them to be your persona, you have to then chat to them and say the right things to them based on their personality type.
You've got to pick them up. Mm-hmm. You've got to woo
something
them.
Along those lines.
If you've read the game, Persona 5 Royal becomes a lot easier.
So it's been pretty easy for you then, Tommy. I have had some difficulties with it. You're the only person I know that owns the book The Game, I think, Tommy. Do you still own it or did you throw it away?
I threw it away.
Yeah, good.
I threw it away. It was in a...
Once you've reread a book 11 times, there's no real point in having it take up that much shelf space.
Yeah, well, it's all up here now.
Once all the pages are stuck together, I can't really read it anymore. It's just nutting over every page, just like the mere prospect of being able to pick up just set me off on every page. Yeah, I did. I had a copy of the game on a bookshelf, very audaciously on a bookshelf in a living room of the living room of my previous share house, where just any time people would come around, they'd question me on it. I'd be like, I've got to get rid of this. Mm-hmm. I've got to turf it.
You had it clearly in aid of like a joke or something back in the day. Or it was given to you as a joke present.
I wrote a play where we were kind of like doing kind of a parody of pickup artists. That's so almost, I read it for that.
That's like worse than if you'd have been using it sincerely.
Yeah. I wrote a play.
It was for the theater.
And when I was at the launch party and I wanted to pick up some theater chicks, so I read the game.
Totally. Yeah.
Don't worry,
yeah.
I'm not a creep. I'm involved in local theater.
So I was giving an unprompted massage to someone in the cast, and then I thought, there's got to be an easier way. Get into some magic tricks.
Hands in, everyone. Come on, hands in, Sophie. Hands in.
Oh, Christ.
But, yeah, I mean, I am deep. I'm nudging 30 hours of Persona 5 Royal. It's been very satisfying. Get it? Because I think I was like 15 or so hours into the original, so getting past the point where I was originally and just being into new shit has been very satisfying. And it's still teaching you new stuff like 25 hours in. It's fucking insane.
And you'd only be about a quarter of the way through then if you're at 30, from my understanding of how long that one is.
Yeah,
I'm like halfway through I'm halfway through the third palace.
Is that the one that is the one from the opening or not? You know what I mean?
So.
There's that one at the opening. Okay, the bank. It's just the bank, whatever. But yeah, cool.
It's just about 30% of the way through. Yeah. It's just like the second or third.
So it is about a third of the way? Okay. How many are there?
There's like seven palaces or something like that. I think there were six maybe in the original, and then they added one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right. But yeah, they certainly get harder and more difficult the further in you are. Yeah. So,
and then towards the back end, the sort of the palace format drops away in favor of like just sort of doing other things. So there's kind of true. It's a little deceptive, the number of it. But it's a very fucking long game, which is why I've not jumped into the Royal like you two have.
It's crazy. I mean, there's just so much in it, and especially like playing it kind of a couple of nights in a row over a week, where there's not too many games like it where, you know, if you're deep in the midst of a palace, you can have two nights in a row where that's all you're doing. You're scanning the palace, you're getting into battles, but then I've had 2-3 nights in a row where I finish the palace and all I'm doing is just like basically watching the cutscenes that are in between, you know, from in between the palaces. You just watch a lot of story. Like there's been plenty of times where I've sat down and played it for 2 hours and gone, I just scrolled through text and watched little movies for an hour and a half to 2 hours there. Not that that's a complaint, but it does just, it can shift so dramatically from session to session that you play it.
It definitely, or the original at least, it wasn't paced out. You were doing one thing at a time, really. So you were either, you were attacking the palace, you had several free days over which to go and build your relationships or go to the fucking batting cage for no reason. So it was very segmented into, like you say, several hours of the same thing, which weirdly enough didn't, to me, come across as like a pacing problem or anything the first time I played it, because it leaves long enough of a gap between each of those extended sessions of doing the one thing that by the time it gets back to the rotation of now it's palace time again, you're ready for it and happy to do it for a solid
same.
Chunk.
Yeah, I haven't minded that at all. And I do like that it's there's the guy at the weapon store that's got that early on you see him get like a sus bag that you want to ask him about, but you can't ask him about that until your guts are high enough. And to make your guts high enough, you go to the hamburger place and do the hamburger challenge. But you're not going to succeed in getting your guts high enough unless your knowledge and proficiency are high enough. So to do, you know, it's like working through all these different systems where it's like, okay, I need to study and read this book about proficiency. I need to do all like just that exclusively in my free time to build up those two things to be able to get higher guts to be. So I'm just working towards at the moment being able to ask about the bag. Like,
tell you what,
the way that
wanna,
it kind of sets you up to have all those systems in play.
You want to increase your guts? Spend a few bloody months in lockdown, mate. That'll bloody get your guts right up there. I tell you how much I believe that.
Oh, dude, and speaking of asking about a bag, give me 6 weeks and I'll be right on the blower.
Please, ask me through an encrypted app service, please, Tommy, if you want to ask about the bag.
Talking about a weapon store.
Do not go through Facebook.
Good thing there's no fucking gun shops around here, I tell you.
That's an interesting comment you make, Tommy, about the way you're playing it, because I think that is the way I played it the first time as well. It was like, okay, this week I'm going to the burger shop every day, or this I'm only going to focus on this one confidant. You know, I'm going to hang out with Ryuji every day or whatever. And I reckon by the end of the game, I had like a bunch of stats that were nowhere near as high as the other ones. Like maybe I had like charm and proficiency were like 6 or 7 or whatever, and kindness and knowledge were low or something like that. Where and
no
I found
shit.
Out like fuck up, cunt. Sorry. My guts are high enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever you had have said then, I would have jumped on. Didn't matter what the stats were.
I know. I tried to balance them out so as not to be a complete caricature of myself. But I think maybe it was you, Nox. You said you were like, yeah, all my stats were like at maximum by the end.
Don't you put fucking words in my mouth. Yeah, no, it was because I think after a few like in-game weeks, the ways that you could min-max it is the term, which I fucking hate that term for some reason.
Yeah.
But you can definitely find ways of getting everything up kind of all at once. And there's ways, like you say, Tommy, that to do this one well, the other ones, it relies on these other ones. Figuring out the best way to make them roll into each other was a fun part of getting everything up. I think by the time I finished, there were like maybe 2 of the confidence I didn't have up to 10. And everything was pretty high. You got to make sure you're getting all your answers right in class. You got to never waste your time.
I really love that. Yeah, I really love that part of it, that it just throws stuff at you that you just know or you don't.
A lot of those burger challenges and stuff are actually less useful ways to spend your time than I can't remember now what the better ones were, but there were some where you get like a confident up at the same time as doing a stat up, or you get several stats up.
So yeah, I think like there's things that you can do that take less time as well. So it's like you don't lose a whole block of time. I think I'm finding now like cleaning the toilets in the cafe, you get some bonuses with the confidant. Sojiro, I think his name is, the guy, your guardian. And you get some, I think, kindness points. But there's, certain activities only take like half a block of time. So you can, maximize your upgrades.
By the end of the game, if you use like there's guides that people have made and stuff to be like, there's no spoilers in here, but here's what to do every single day to get everything at max. But that doesn't sound like a fun time to follow one of them.
No. I want to change my own strategy to see if I can do it. I don't want to get a platinum trophy or anything. I just want to have my own satisfaction of playing it a little bit more thoughtfully, maybe.
I still don't feel like I'm fully maximizing or quite got my head around the whole thing of doing the guillotine and fusing the personas and all that kind of stuff. Like I'm getting them to lend me their power where I can, and feeling like I want to build up a bit of a bank of them, but I really only have like 1 or 2 that I switch between, and I get too scared about, you know, losing 2 of them to make a new one. And because your party grows so much that you've and those have fixed personas that have their own elemental things, that you only really need to slot in, you know, 1 or 2 different ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I'm really not maximizing that potential as much as I could be.
I think there is
the
temptation to get a little too precious about hanging on to them, like they're Pokemon or something, where you want to kind of have keep them all, but kill them off as soon as they're not needed.
Yeah.
And I think there was a way, I can't remember, to look at what they're needed for in the combinations for future ones. If someone hasn't played this game, by the way, we're making no fucking sense. But everyone should go and play Persona 5 Royal. It's
original, so good.
Fucking good.
It's, especially if you're in Melbourne and you're locked in. It really is.
Plenty of places
around
the world.
Such a good one to have to just just have nothing but time to sink into. It's such a good one for that, because it is just Yeah, there's plenty of times. It's very colourful. It's very distracting. It's very bright. It's definitely got some pretty dark stuff in its story and tone and everything. But it there are plenty of, like, the nights where I haven't really done any gameplay stuff. I've just kind of clicked through menus. I haven't minded at all because it's like, oh, cool. It's just like watching a cool cartoon series or reading a cool comic book or whatever.
Mm. Yeah. It's very good. I am for it. That's my review.
Hell yeah.
Of the one person here who hasn't actually played Royal. So what are some of, Ben, you finished Persona 5, the original, right?
I did. I finished the vanilla version of Persona 5. I loved it. How far into this 100 hours of it. I am about 9 or 10 hours in. I just finished the first palace. The first dungeon, I guess, is a way to describe it for people who haven't played this game. And there's a fuckload of changes. Tommy brought up a few in our group chat that I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, the flippy move. And I'm like, what? There's no flippy move in this game. Apparently there's flippy
moves. You were a lot ruder than that. You really you really let me have it.
Pretty low kindness on your response to that, if I remember.
You really did a big flippy move on me for me daring to not know what I was talking about.
But yeah, so I've only got through the first palace, the first dungeon of the game. But even that is like 50% new. There's whole different areas. There's different mechanics in there. There is a new character that's been introduced, who I assume is, you know, a party character that you can recruit. But I still haven't really done that. I've just met them in the game. I think there's maybe even extra anime cutscenes at this point.
More anime. I'm in.
Yeah. Yes.
Fuck, I screamed that so loud in my apartment. I'm really worried now that the fucking neighbors would have heard me screaming about anime.
Oh, all I know about this guy is that he wants more anime.
Can we get some of those guards in here, please? We've got a real threat.
If you can make sure that they're from the greatest country in the world, Japan, that would be my preferred guard.
A few samurais guarding my door would be great. Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
If their eyes are enormous and they're 150,000 years old, but they look like they're 12, that would be my preferred sexual partner, please.
Can you spread COVID if a security guard fucks the body pillow that you have in your apartment? Is that still... But yeah, I reckon like 2 or 3 hours into Royal, I was not that interested. And I think I talked about it when I was that far in. It was a few weeks ago. I was like, okay, this is Persona 5 again. I think I need a bit more of a break. But yeah, it's actually really, really different and different and in better ways. There's more stuff going on. I think there might be more like of the day-to-day shit you can do as well, like more variety in the stuff that you can do to up your skills and up your attributes. So. Cool. Yeah, I think you'll like it, Nox. I think like we have, a bunch of time on our hands more than ever, and this is a great game for sinking that time into. And yeah, this is a much better, much improved version that I'm like, I'm happy I paid for it. Like it's not a bad buy or anything. It's
cool.
Yeah, it's a genuine upgrade.
There's a new little guy in Mementos who, you collect little stars throughout that area, and then you can trade them to him for things that are going to boost the amount of experience points you get or money that you get from battles in there.
That's so cool.
It's just kind of like a little concession in there to make everything kind of hum along a little smoother. It is such an easy game to do like an add-on to, because there's so much in it. There's so many different little systems that just adding like one or two little things to each of those systems does make it feel like such a bigger, like more rounded, big set of anime honkers.
It's cool to hear that too, because like the back end of that game is, I believe, where they've put most of the new content as well. So for it to be this different, and because there's like a 2 or 3 months or something that they skip in the calendar year towards the end of the game, and that is in there now, is my understanding of it.
There's stuff like in the palace that I've done. There's like an extra sort of set of things you can collect that apparently, I think, probably aid you in the final battle of the palace. So there's like hidden rooms and extra areas and stuff that, in terms of the areas and the pathways and stuff, are really organically built in, because like I wouldn't have noticed that these were add-ons without like the extra actual collectible thing. Like the design of all the added stuff is great. Like it's really seamless.
That's cool. I'm still not going to play it. I've found other stuff to do. It, like one day, but I think I just remember it well enough that even extra
pretty recent
deleted scenes and shit, you know, is just not quite enough for me to go back in yet. Especially when I've been... You say what you need to say, Tommy. God damn it.
I was just saying to you guys the other day that I really want to get the soundtrack on vinyl, but it was like a limited release and it's now very hard to find and very expensive. But if you guys want to visit my Amazon wish list, it's on there. I'm happy to send a bunch of nudes if you want to buy it for me and ship it over to me to really show my appreciation. So I just wanted to get that plug in there.
Cool. if anyone wants to buy me a house as well, I've been looking for a house. They're pretty hard to find though. There was a limited release of housing and they're quite expensive now. But if you go to my Amazon wish list... I have been spending my time continuing to play through like the Souls series again, or the FromSoft games. Hopefully we'll be seeing like Elden Ring at that Microsoft thing on the 23rd of July, which we should mention, by the way. We, at least you and I, Ben, I don't know if we've talked about it with you, Tommy, but we'll be streaming live reactions. Whoa. Yes. To the Microsoft event, which is on July 23rd American date, I think.
I think 21st. I think they might have changed it.
Oh, really?
I believe July 21st, yeah.
Oh, that's so like the Tuesday instead of the Thursday.
Is that a Tuesday? Yeah.
It would be. I don't know. I think it... whatever. Whatever date it is, we'll be on Twitch doing that.
Is there one that we were doing on Friday or have I got my dates wrong? Like this
You've
Friday?
Got your dates was there one? Completely wrong, Tommy.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like 2 a.m. this Friday. Well, thank God we had this conversation because I'll tell you what. I would have been livid.
We'll be doing that and hopefully they announce some Elden Ring stuff there. And also, if you're excited to see us do Twitch content and extra content, well, there's a few other avenues that exist right now for you to be able to do that with us.
Hey, we're doing a mid-roll ad organically halfway through the episode for our own shit.
That's what you get by having a fucking professional on the line here.
Yeah,
I'm on the phone with Mark Maron and he told me to do this.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of extra content, extra filthy content that is available now for your listening pleasure. We got the Bandcamp. The Bandcamp premium episodes, if you've never heard of these, if you've never listened to the end of an episode of our show where we plug stuff, we do sort of like between 90-minute to 3-hour long premium episodes that we sell for a dollar or more on Bandcamp, filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com, I believe, yeah.
Yep.
The most recent one we did is a little something called the Filthy Casuals International Film Festival. And how would we describe what that is?
We curated a film festival, but we replaced films with video games. So it's the decision-making process of the festival runners going through and deciding which games best represent the film festival that we intend to put on. It's not what we went into that recording intending to do. We were just going to say, what are the best games that are sort of like movies, but it became a lot more fun.
Yeah. Because the idea is films don't exist, so what games could we have on at our film festival that take the place of a film experience?
But also there's like a whole bunch of other ones as well. There's the top 10 games to play before you specifically die. So we're trying to pitch a list of games for someone who hasn't to have a lot long left on this earth. The essential games, the essential video games experiences. The best video game soundtracks.
Or maybe it wasn't top 10, but yeah, the soundtracks one is really good, the music one.
Yeah, that's really fun because I think you edited that one, Nox, and a lot of the music that we talk about is woven into the discussion.
Woven masterfully into the discussion.
The history of Naughty Dog, which might be of interest to people right now, having just played The Last of Us 2. We talk about all the Uncharted games, Crash Bandicoot, Jack and Daxter, and The Last of Us Part 1.
Yeah, you can find them there. They're filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com. It's similar to those history of video games extra ones we did recently. And hey,
yes,
we might at some point in the next few months have to, or not have to, but want to do another set of themed episodes too. That's kind of the format there. And also we got the Patreon, patreon.com/filthycasualspod. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. So that's, get a
bonus episode of this every week where we talk about all the other sorts of cultural stuff we've been taking in that's not video games. We just finished doing a wrap-up of the 90s. We did each episode was a different year of the 90s. We went through music, movies, TV shows, and we had a fucking blast doing it.
Do you know what? Like, going back into lockdown here as well, in Melbourne at least, if people didn't see the news, the reason we kept saying about fucking security guards before as well is because they reckon a lot of the reason the second outbreak happened is because in the quarantine hotels, security guards were fucking the guests. Mm. And the guests were fucking the security guards. Bizarre. But anyway,
yeah,
we've gone back into lockdown now. It's fucking depressing, but
it's pretty brutal.
It sucks. I've been, that's why I've been playing these Souls games again, because the feeling of achievement you get from these is genuinely a really positive thing to have in your day.
Yeah, right. A genuine challenge. That's why I can't play those games. They're too hard. But the satisfaction from beating them must be very nice.
Exactly. They're actually beneficial to my mental state in that way. It's really crazy that you know, it can have such a positive effect. I mean, Dark Souls 2 less so than the other ones. It's not as good, which is weird as well, to be like, it's like going to a different psychologist and then the second one's just like similar to the first but a little emptier and just seems like they're kind of making half of the shit up as they go along. But yeah, I've been playing Dark Souls 2 more, and if I mean, you guys have never really gotten into any of those games, have you?
No, I've really tried to with Bloodborne. I've given it two or three shots. Yeah. And I mean, Sekiro I did. I got into Sekiro in a big way, but apparently that is a little easier and different from the other ones.
It definitely is the most, the least similar to the others. And Bloodborne, I would say, is the one that would be my first port of call for anybody who's not ever played these games before, because it is a little bit it wants you to be a bit more aggressive in how you play it, so it's less standoffish at the start, I guess.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like, it's a little more action heavy than like any of the Dark Souls ones are, for sure. That Demon Souls remake is showing up though on the PS5, so maybe that'll be a good opportunity to dip a toe in.
Again. It does look cool. That trailer was pretty impressive visually, and like, not just graphically, but like stylistically, I was very drawn into wanting to play it. I think the aggression of Bloodborne is what keeps me out of it. I think it expects you to be like, yeah, you just go in and you start killing a bunch of people and you don't run away and you don't wait and you don't hold back. You just keep attacking and keep running forwards, and apparently you can just like run past big bosses to the next area, and it's like, I think I'm treating them much more as... like a, I don't know, like a Witcher or something like that. Or not a Witcher, but, you know, a game where it's like, yeah, you just, you know, go through it gradually and you have to beat every enemy and you have to, there's a mechanic to figure out about each thing, whereas I think maybe it's not that. It's
they're
else.
Definitely, they're unique in what they're sort of asking for from you. And I would say more than any other series of games, it is kind of worth looking up suggestions of what to do in them a lot of the time,
right?
Because there's a whole lot of different ways that you can play them. There's all different sorts of weapons and fucking spells and whatever that really change up what you do in those things, and there's a lot of sort of obscure mechanics that you might not notice, and it's all kind of deliberately built in there that way because they wanted those games to be in the style of like secrets of NES games and shit, where you would like find out about it from a friend who said they read it in a fucking magazine that you've never heard of. All that sort of like spreading secrets and rumors about the game is part of the point of them, you know?
Just spreading rumors about the game.
Telling everyone.
It fucked the PE teacher.
So yeah,
this game has a panther running around in the background. There's a panther in it. I wonder if that's a myth or legend that is common throughout not Australia. Every country town, it's like, there's a fucking cougar. It got loose from a traveling circus or something. And there's a cougar in the hills of Cockatoo in the country.
There's definitely in the UK, there's some big cat rumors.
Right.
But they are very easily answered by saying like, yeah, man, big, like cats that are big exist. If you see a a large cat, I've seen cats that are just cats and I'm like, fucking hell, get a load of that cat. What a big cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big boy. It's not like the Loch Ness monster.
No, it's so ridiculous. They've got the stories of all the pumas and stuff being in like the Dandenong Ranges and like they escaped from a military base and shit like that.
Yes.
No, yeah. They didn't. It was me. Mm-mm. I bought them on the black market. But so, yeah, I'm enjoying playing those Souls games again. They're very, you can, as much as they're demanding of you, they let you switch your brain off entirely in that way because it's sort of asking you to focus on it, which is really pleasant. They're very deep and, challenging. I think that the difficulty of them, honestly, for me, gets a little overblown and people get a bit more scared of them than they need to be, which then if you have that in your head going into them, it does affect the way that you approach it when you're actually playing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's definitely affected my attempts with them. Although, I found Sekiro too hard. So, maybe it was because I wasn't focused enough, you know, and I was expecting to Assassin's Creed it, you know, and sort of hold down R2 and just be able to make my way through the whole game. But
yeah, no,
it's not. It's more old-fashioned. You really do have to... It's more like every encounter is almost like an old boss fight where you have to figure out the pattern, you have to hold back, or you have to attack and dodge and keep on them. There's always something to figure out, I guess.
Yeah. But there's always a way to do it. Like, it's never being unfair to you. Oh, not never. Like, there's some shit in there that isn't as well made as the rest of any of those games. In each one, there's worse parts. But yeah, they are absolutely an evolution of that very 80s NES. Like, old. They are those old Castlevania games. These are a sequel to those.
Mm.
Dark Souls is Castlevania, basically. Yeah, and so I've been enjoying dipping back in there. But other than that, I haven't had space in my brain or schedule or, you know, it's such a weirdly difficult for me time to be playing games for some reason. I just don't have, not the energy, but it doesn't seem like I should or something. I don't know what it is.
Mm.
Does that make, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it. I've been finding it. I kind of have been sort of divvying up my week, like having 3 or 4 days where I'm just doing pods flat out, and then when that's done, kind of, you know, chucking on a bit of PS4 for a couple of hours before I go to bed. Mm. But then the other half of the week, I'm at my girlfriend's house hanging out with her. So, there's part of me that just is like, I would love to just be fucking mainlining Persona day and night. But finding it, having a bit of time here and there. But I do know what you mean though, Nox. Like I definitely have plenty of spells where I'm like, feels weird to say about what is essentially a leisure activity, but just going like, I can't be fucked with games. Like I just want to sit and be extremely passive on the couch, which is maybe why Persona 5's been good for me lately, because it's quite a passive game. Like even in the depths of combat, you can take your time, you're going through menus and stuff.
That's true. Maybe the fact that like every time I go to do it, I'm like, I can't be fucked actually doing what would be required to kill a dragon in real life. That's how intense it is.
Yeah.
I could fight a real dragon, I reckon, if they showed up. And the way 2020's going, it's not out of the question.
Well, can I recommend a gaming experience that might be good for you? A little something that I've been playing a bit of called 51 Clubhouse Games. And brother, let me tell you, it's got Yahtzee. It's got chess. It's got hares and hyenas.
Name them all.
It's got toy tanks.
Let's do them all.
It's got Connect Four. It's got Mahjong.
Are they called these though, or like they're using like for Connect Four? They must be using whatever off-brand name of like four in a row or whatever.
You're a four in a row head? Yeah, that's what it's called. Yeah.
Great.
A lot of them have the off-brand kind of names. But, you know, it's a game on the Switch. It's a lot of them, you can play it as a putting it down on tabletop and kind of as a touch screen. So as if you've got like a very kind of small board in front of you. And yeah, it's just a bunch of just, you know, classic kind of old board and card games, but, you know, with the kind of polish that you'd expect from a Nintendo product. Is very well presented. There's a very snappily done kind of tutorial at the start of each time, the first time you play it. And yeah, if you just want a bunch of that kind of shit in the one package, it's cool. And it's a cool way of like a bunch of these games that I've never owned or played before. It's just kind of a neat way of learning how to play them and just chucking it on and just for a bit of a break here and there for 20 minutes at a time. It's very therapeutic. It's very chill.
How much is it?
Yeah, it's... I think it's 50 or 60. Whoa. I think it's like, it's not... So yeah, that was going to be quite full price.
My biggest question about
this. It's not
quite
a full price title, but it's not like... Yeah, for stuff that is like... freeware everywhere else.
Right.
Yeah.
What is the benefit of buying this over going to google.com and typing in the word solitaire?
That is the question. 55 bucks apparently, or 55 bucks from Amazon. So
I mean,
it could
that's
be more
like a dollar a game, I guess, just under. And then you got one game a week for the whole year and then a week off over Christmas to see your family.
Well, you don't play games with your family. What are your favorite games on it, Tommy? Because like I scoffed at this game's release when we first heard about it. I was like, okay, great. Mm-hmm. You know, this has become a running joke in the group chat. But man, I actually do like some board games and I do like some card games. What are the big hitters? What are you enjoying playing on it?
It's very big of you to admit, Ben.
I've been playing a lot of their version of it's called Yacht Dice, which I didn't realize when I started playing it is just Yahtzee. Mm. Having
Yacht
a lot
Dice
of fun
is my
playing that. And what's the other one called? It's called Mancala. It's like the board on each, you and one other opponent on each side, you've got these little kind of pockets that have marbles and you kind of pick a pocket to move all the marbles from and you're
sure.
to kind of empty all of your pockets.
That's used to be called Chinese checkers, I believe.
No, I'm looking at Mancala now. It's also called Bao, maybe?
Okay.
In Zanzibar, there's a photo of Bao players in Zanzibar.
Mancala.
M-A-N-C-A-L-A.
Oh, C-A-L-A. All right, I'm gonna see if it's... Oh, it is. That is just what it's called. It's an African game.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I've played this. They had this at my primary school.
That's right.
Okay.
I was in 10th century Africa.
Oh no, they've found out I'm a time traveler. Yeah, I did play this, although I don't know if I ever knew the proper rules, so maybe I need to go to 51 Clubhouse Games to learn how to play it properly. That looks cool.
I mean, yeah, the benefit over like just getting onto Google and looking it up, or I'm sure there's like iPad app equivalents of these kinds of stuff. It's like it is the reason to buy it is, do you just want them in one centralized package with a pleasant, nice presentation on the Switch? Like it's very inessential, but yeah, if you just want to get one cartridge that's just got a bunch of these board games all there ready to go, and it does it, you know, you can just do like a random mode where it will just, like I sat there on the couch a couple of weeks ago and was just like hitting the random button and it'll just start playing one of them at random and just teach you how to play it. And because there's heaps on there that I've never heard of or never played before. And yeah, some of them are obviously in a package like this, some of them are better than others. It's got like toy tennis and like toy boxing. It's got Rock'em Sock'em Robots on it for some reason.
Right.
You got to get them up to 51, I guess.
Yeah.
39 Clubhouse games would be ridiculous. No one would buy that.
But something like this, like, yeah, it lives or dies by the presentation. And the presentation is cool. They've done a good job with it. Like, yeah, it probably is a bit rich to charge that fee, but it's also one of those things where if you want it, you want it. And if you're not interested, you're not, you know if you want it or not. And, you know,
sure.
And think anyone's being misled.
Do you know what's weird?
Mahjong.
Like, Yeah. What about Mahjong?
You played any Mahjong? I'm just looking at the games.
I've actually played piano. A bunch of Mahjong. I tried to play Mahjong in... I was playing Yakuza 0, which I've since sort of let slide for some reason, but it was good.
Right.
And there's like the little Mahjong clubs in there where you can go, and I fucking sucked at it. Getting my money taken off of me by like these NPCs was really infuriating to me for some reason. It is actually just before I stopped playing it. I was like, oh, fuck you. I would have flipped that table digitally if I could have.
You're better at playing Dark Souls than Mahjong, apparently.
I'm a weird motherfucker. I got, because even though I've got that, the other Switch, the Switch Lite, I haven't found that any of these games that are sort of styled to be like, hey, just pick it up when you got 10 minutes or maybe every day you can drop in. I got Brain Training on it, thinking, maybe I'll be able to knock that IQ up a couple of points and get up to 84. Yep. But I just keep forgetting that it's there, or that's the main thing. The thing of returning to Brain Training every day, especially when it's on something that isn't your phone that you're looking at anyway. I just haven't been able to get into the habit of, and weirdly, like, yeah, picking up the Switch and having it be like 10 minutes at a time type of thing, it just hasn't gelled with me. I don't know why, but so I wonder if that would make 51 Clubhouse games not the product for someone like me.
Well, my my Switch is currently at my girlfriend's house. She sort of watched me play a bit of Animal Crossing over my shoulder and then got me to make a character for her, and then spent the entirety of last Sunday playing it at my house, and then went to work on the Monday and went, could I borrow your Switch? So then I drove to her house with the Switch, and she has now had it all week and has absolutely lost her fucking mind over Animal Crossing. From never having played a video game in her life to being really, like, she, with this lockdown thing, like, she got a new job recently that she still, as of tomorrow, is having to go into the office.
Well, she's making the morning announcements for Melbourne, so that...
She's devastated because it means it's going to be harder for her. Like, she was hoping it'd be work from home so she could just like sneakily play Animal Crossing all day while she was meant to be doing work for this job. So that's one benefit of this, I guess, that she has more time to commit to, doing a bit of work around the island, because I've definitely dropped off it recently.
So is she like the second player on that island?
Yep.
Does that mean that she's not able to make further changes at some point to that island? I think she might run into a point at that game where you will have to jump in and like progress things a bit.
I think so, but I think I know that is the case with the second player, but I think the island was far enough along that it's kind of all up and running at this point anyway. I don't know if she's allowed to like build a bridge or an incline. I haven't asked her about that. But I also think she doesn't care. I do know that she was able to set up the art gallery in the... they added a thing post-launch in the museum where you can now get an extra art gallery added on. And she got that set up.
That's cool.
They've also added a thing where you can go diving in the... You can go swimming in the water and dive onto the ocean floor and get like sea anemones and stuff like
really?
That.
Really?
Which is pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Like maybe I should today dip back or something. Into Animal Crossing. Because, yeah, that was another one of the sort of, like, I was playing it handheld and I thought, like, oh, pick it up for half an hour a day. And it just doesn't happen for some reason. I'm just not good at getting into a routine. It's probably because of some underlying psychological issue that could be addressed through medication that I've been thinking about a lot lately. But the habitual revisited daily type of game just isn't something that clicks with me. But clearly has on, like, a... broader level, because fucking tons of people who aren't big video game people have gotten 800 hours deep in Animal Crossing.
People are I do kind of agree with you. Like when it first came out, I was sinking a lot of hours into it to kind of like build up the island and do all that stuff. But for me, there's no gap between sitting there and doing 5-hour sessions to set everything up and then just not playing at all. There's no middle ground where I'm dipping in for half an hour today to just kind of like pick the fruit, sell it, do the like bits of paying off. It's either like I'm all in at the very beginning and then just kind of not touching it. There's no middle ground.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I think I tapped out at a certain point. I don't even think I did all of it, actually. I think I got to the point where maybe I could expand a few extra residents. I just got like the upgraded resident facilities thing, you know, the town hall basically. I didn't even start doing terrain manipulation and all that shit you can do. Like I think I just got bored of it. And I am a routine guy. Like I do like that stuff, but it wasn't enough.
Getting a load of this motherfucker here, Tommy. He didn't even get into terrain manipulation. That's fucking pathetic.
Adam did a bit of the like backwards thumb point this guy, but because of the way that you're screen, you were just pointing off into the abyss.
Which way is he comparatively to me?
You were pointing
You were
pointing at my fridge before, so boy, you really showed it who's boss.
Get a load of this fucking thing full of frozen Tommy cum, I assume. Not sure what's in there, but I've always pictured that.
But yeah, it has been cool, like just like hearing her get super into it, and she's, you know, she's like sending me little.
Would have been the first time you've heard her like get super into anything, Tommy. Oh. Would have been about the first time that she's audibly been into something.
Oh my god!
Your fridge is full of your own cum for some reason. I've gotten you twice.
Oh good
a
lord!
Pincer movement.
But yeah. Having her, her response to it has been cool. It's cool that you know, just she's got no attachment to games whatsoever, and she's just having a fucking an absolute fucking ball. To the point where I was almost like, I was like, should I just get her a Switch? And then I was like, that's running very parallel to something that Barry does in an episode of Barry, and the point of that storyline is meant to be what a fucking weird psychopath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want to be not crazy, get yourself a second Switch and then realize that you're not even going to pick it up every day like you thought you would.
Well, oh boy.
In terms of news and stuff, we had a look through before and there's nothing interesting that we wanted to talk about, to be honest, as well.
Nah.
Just so
really.
Everyone knows that we've seen it, but who gives a fuck about anything that's going on in the world at all currently.
Yeah, should we put a pin in this one? I've got a pretty busy schedule of running around in circles in the middle of my living room.
Yeah, I've got a lot of ceiling to stare at, so if we're, I reckon that's an episode, eh?
Yeah, that'll do us, folks. Thanks for joining us. We've got, very much looking forward to in a couple of weeks. We've got, we should say this. We've got, Ghost of Tsushima and the new Paper Mario are out on the same day. We were talking about this the other day. I think the week after they've both come out, we're going to focus on Ghost of Tsushima and then we'll talk about Paper Mario the next week. So if playing along with the show is something that you're interested in, if those are two games that you're planning on getting at release and you're thinking about how to stagger up your playtime, that might influence you in some way. So yeah, that's how we're going to be divvying up the schedule. For the show. But thanks very much for listening, guys. filthycasuals.com.au is where you can find links to everything that we've got going on. Check out the Bandcamp episodes. The last couple in particular, really, really fun. But they're all great if you're looking for a bit of extra stuff to do for a minimum of $1. And we did a is that Apocalypse one that's still free if you want, right?
What fuck are you talking about? The one we did at the start of the first lockdown.
The most recent one we did. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, that's just pay what you want completely.
Yes.
Yeah, all the rest of them are $1 minimum, and then that one is free if you want it, if you don't have the means to pay at the moment. And you
that one that being
there for you.
Top 10 games to play if you were hypothetically not able to leave the house for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine.
Yeah.
God. Imagine being horny that you're like, I don't care if a pandemic comes out of it. It's fucking insane. And someone who is going
Brandon
to fuck
Seamus
you.
Guy, honestly.
Absolutely. Get that guard's name out there because if he's caught fucking COVID from it, if he's willing to do that, how the fuck did he, like you would assume that he had full on AIDS, hepatitis, every fucking one of them.
Yes.
Surely.
True. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I'm furious that, like,
I know.
Oh my God. I'm so sick of this fucking house. And other people have worse problems, but
yeah. You know. Anyway, Knox, totally. I'll be able to help you with that application to the security guard firm you wanted me to look over just after this episode.
Make sure you put my dick size on there, please.
Of course. I've got 2 inches. It's already down. Yeah. Yeah.
No. Chump, 2 inches is wrong. It's security. Only 1 inch. It's even smaller than your joke small. Fucking insane.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Hope everyone's doing okay. If you're, no matter where in the world you are, hope everyone's, very nice to have this to be able to chat to you boys and chat to the folks listening at home. So, we'll be back next week with more hot content. Take care of yourselves. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
if they're looking sick, don't suck their dick. That's what you got to remember all the time. That old fucking catchphrase.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.